The reality of it in this profession, especially as the season goes, you don't really know who's going to be up. And sometimes come Saturday, you're still trying to figure out who's going to be up on game day. And guys, either you're on a practice squad or you're inactive, just staying ready. And when their opportunity comes, making the most of it. It'll be exciting. Hopefully we get some guys back. But I'm confident with whoever we have available is going to be able to get the job done.
Joe Brady, let's go to the phones. 803-0550, Sal Capaccio at 5, Paul Hamilton at 6, Sabres off on a California trip. First game of that trip is tomorrow night in L.A. Here is Mason with us. Hi, Mason.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Really good, Mason. Thanks for calling.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to piggyback on your conversation about the, you know, their wide receiver. The whole, we all know, I mean, as Bills fans, if the Bills pass on somebody, immediately we're like, oh, man, this guy's going to come back and kill us for the next 10 years. You know, so we're always hyper about what they do. But I would argue that I felt the same way when they released these guys from the defense, you know, because we're so used to these names we know. But I was just talking to a guy on Sunday. It's like, I think the youth and the speed that we gain is offsetting maybe even a little bit of the skill level. It's just amazing the way these guys fly around. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, they're just so quick, you know. And you don't know any of their names, but they're just doing a fantastic job on defense. So, I don't know. I'm just glad that it's not me making the decisions, because I think I don't give the Bills, you know, the guys guiding this ship enough credit. Because, man, they make more hits than misses, I'll say that. So, anyway, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
All right, appreciate that. Yeah, I didn't like saying it in the off season because I know how emotionally attached a lot of fans become, and I'm right there with you to guys. But I mean, I don't know about hot. I feel like Poyer. It was evident that was going the wrong way. I think all of last year, even the summer before that season started, there were signs that Pittsburgh preseason game, I remember him getting run away from in the middle of the field and just going, oh no, this could be tough. And I think that has continued, and Miami bought that. And I just don't think that's a player that you can really count on to be holding down an important spot or starting spot on a contending team anymore. Hyde, I don't know. The injuries were more the thing with him than it was athletically, but I always thought it was possible they could get better there, which sounded crazy because, again, those guys were so excellent for so long, but, you know, sometimes the time is right. And, boy, on Poyer, on Tre'Davious White, I mean, he did make a nice pass breakup in a game in the end zone. Holy cow, who's he on? Is he on Baltimore now?
Yeah.
He broke up a pass in the end zone on Sunday in Pittsburgh for the Ravens. But, you know, he's had a very rough go. He got released by the Rams, or traded from the Rams to the Ravens, just was getting healthy scratched. It was time. You know, it's tough to have to go through that, but I think the Bills are better. They're still sound. And, you know, I don't know that you're going to get as many splash plays. You know, you think of the play Poyer made in Baltimore in the end zone a couple of years ago, the interception Hyde makes against the Patriots. Like, I don't think you're really getting those plays from these guys. Hamlin's been more in the right spot at the right time to collect his turnovers, but still, you know, credit. But he's very safe. Like, he's gotten burned on a bad angle a couple times, but mostly they're doing what they want done, what the coaches want done back there. And I think they're getting more than by on that. I mean, the one mistake they've had, a deep pass over their heads, was with the kid on the field, Bishop. And that might be the best athlete of the bunch. But he's got to ramp up. He's just not there yet, and as evidenced by what happened in Houston to him.
I'll just say this shortly or quickly. I feel mostly the same way about the Bills' defense right now, this year, as I do about their offense, which is I think it's fine. I think what they have done best really on both sides of the ball this year is turnovers. They are second in the league in takeaways. They are third in the league in fewest turnovers. And that is always part design and part luck. I mean, there is some regression that happens with that. And, you know, you could sit here for years and wait for it. Who knows when or if it's even coming. So that's pass pressure, that's attention to detail, you know, being able to make plays like Bernard can, like Douglas can. You know, they've got players who are adept at that, but I think that fluctuates, you know, game to game. And otherwise, you know, if you want to use stats, like the turnover stats, they're the most efficient team in the NFL here, maybe even by a little bit, with fewest turnovers and most takeaways. Yards-wise, they're right in the middle in both. You know, they're okay. Like, it's average to above average in that statistic, at least alone. So, and, you know, they're getting scored on. They're scoring their points, too. I think the turnover piece may have to keep up for the Bills to keep running at their current pace, which is to say, what, the one seed in the AFC? Like, that's right. If they fall short of that, which they still could, I mean, that's, of course, not a disaster or anything like that. I mean, they're still going to be a playoff team and play at home and all of that. So the takeaways, though, maybe more than any other year, because it's offense, too, have had more to do with their success than previously. Let's go to Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
So I noticed on Sunday two things. One, I never understood the second and long run calls that Brady was calling. I love his schemes. I love what he does. But there was a good chunk of second and eight, second and nine, second and seven where they're giving the ball to Cook to run on the inside. And I get that you got to keep the defense on their toes, where they weren't doing anything on the ground. I think Cook was five or maybe nine carries for 20 yards or something, some ridiculously no number stat, which his defense was great. But, you know, you can't run it all the time. But I didn't understand that, if you guys want to offer some perspective on that. And two, I don't know if it's just my smooth brain not understanding it, but a lot of guys are catching the ball and immediately running to the outside line. Like, plenty of time left on the clock, first or third quarter, and nobody's caught inside. There was one play Shakir did, and he got an extra 15 yards. So I'm screaming at the TV, why are we not cutting back inside if it's something I'm not seeing, or just a thing that they do a lot?
I don't have an answer to that. As you're talking about second down, I see a couple of those early in the game and then, like, maybe never again, second and long runs, and they converted on those series anyway. So it's not something that occurred to me. It doesn't look to me like it really is a problem or anything like that. First couple second and longs they had, they did hand off, but then really most of the game they hardly ever did again.
I think they just realized pretty early that they weren't, despite getting those, you know, those touchdowns on the ground, excluding the Allen one late, because that's not really it's a rushing touchdown, but come on, right? It's not the same as the Cook handoffs that led to the other two touchdowns in the game. I think they realized pretty early on that it just wasn't going to work. And so they got away from it. They didn't stay in that, you know. I think an indicator of that is how little Alec Anderson played. And that's a guy that they like to lean on 15% or so of the snaps on average on the year, and that was down under 8%, I think, or right around 8%.
Correct.
For this game.
Six plays.
Yeah. So I think they just felt that wasn't going to be a matchup. So it's not to say, like, that criticism doesn't hold water for other weeks, but on Sunday I don't think it was really that much in evidence. And I've not noticed at all, really, the other point the caller made myself.
So yesterday we had Sean McDermott on. He might be getting away. Team's getting away with the bye week here. And many people have reached out, Twitter, and I got a couple emails, just to express their appreciation, or they were impressed with him and the conversation that we had. And I did tweet about this earlier today because so many people, and last night, because people were really talking about that. And I was too. What I want to say is, in defense of, you know, beat reporters and other times where you would hear McDermott, and sometimes I'm critical because I just don't really get anything out of it. I'm selfish. I want him to tell me everything that's happening. And, you know, if he doesn't, and he's not going to, I can sort of be kind of like me about it. But somebody, think of the incentives of the people, like in the post-game press conferences, the TV reporters, they want a soundbite. They're not setting up for why the Bills why they handed off to James Cook on second and nine. You know, like,
right.
Answers like that are not making the news. So they're looking for more. That's where you get a lot of the, what does this say about your team, coach, kind of questions that if you're someone else, like I am about this, that's completely useless to me. He's only going to say good things, and it doesn't tell me anything. I could write it, you know. Mm-hmm. So everybody's kind of got different incentives. I kind of to the point about press conferences. I wish sometimes the questions were more specific to what happened in the game. So there's that. And you know, yesterday, this is the top of the world, right? I mean, this is They're 9-2 beating Kansas City. It doesn't get easier to interview a coach from a team than when it's like this. When we had McDermott on in 2018, I mean, there was a lot of frustration. It was still in doubt whether he would work out, whether Allen could play. And from my perspective, I don't know about yours, I mean, I thought at times McDermott was pretty defensive and kind of difficult, you know, but that's a tougher interview because
it's totally understandable.
You know, we're trying to figure out why they're losing, you know, and maybe the coach can shed some light on that, but he doesn't really want to. It's not comfortable. And I might say too, and this is really not something I can say for sure because I'm not close to him, but I get the sense that he's just maybe a lot more sure of himself, relaxed even than then, because that would make sense, right? I mean, he has made it.
Yeah.
And then that was not true. That had not been established yet. And so I think maybe he's a little softer, not to the players necessarily, just softer is not the word, just maybe more laid back,
just relaxed about the whole process. Yeah.
More willing to talk.
Yeah.
And you know, from my perspective on our side of it, it's just it's an easier job to do.
Yeah, I appreciate that people enjoyed him and whatever compliments that have come the show's way because of how he sounded and how we appeared to handle that. But I give him and really the team all the credit. So the team's not 9-2. Like if they screw that game up, he doesn't go for 4th-and-2, kicks a field goal, Mahomes goes down and beat him. I don't know. Maybe they're not even calling us to have him on yesterday if that's the case. So the team being what the team is relaxes him, I think, in a way. And plus, there's not even the heat of another game on Sunday. It's the bye week.
Right.
There's a lot of things that came together that I think had nothing to do with us, other than us realizing that we could handle the interview the way we did because of all of that. But all of that is not in our control. So, you know, it's mostly just a happy accident that it occurred the way it did, I would say. But I also enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed visiting with him like that, as I did earlier in the year when he was on with us before the season even began.
That's a good point, too, about they're not playing again on Sunday, because there's seemingly like an obligatory question about the next opponent, and that's where you get the here's how good they are in these
and
five ways.
Injuries and all the just stuff that just really gobbles up the majority of the time at those big media appearances.
I ran into him on Saturday. We discussed that for a minute yesterday, and it was very pleasant. He was at the Canisius football game, and lots of people were coming up to him. I was just kind of watching that from afar, and you know, just for a guy like that, that would probably happen everywhere he goes, and it can be not easy sometimes to sort of get used to that. You know, these days, again, it's probably right. Everybody's in a pretty good mood,
right?
Which isn't always the case, but yeah. So those are my thoughts on it. It was nice. If you missed it, it's on the would it still be there? Right, yes. About this time yesterday,
yes,
on the Odyssey app, ProFootballReference.com. The minimum is 50 games coached in the NFL to qualify. He is 16th all-time in win percentage. 82-43. That's better than Andy Reid. That's better than Belichick. It's better than Tomlin. And, I mean, Belichick had the Browns and pre-Brady.
Right.
And Reid had a couple down years with the Eagles, or at least one, with Philadelphia. It's better than Bud Grant, Bill Cowher, Joe Gibbs. You know, longer careers, John Harbaugh, 16th all time. Three active coaches are higher, 50 games minimum. Want to guess?
Oh, three active coaches are higher.
I've named some that are not.
Right. You just said John Harbaugh.
And Reed.
Yeah. Could Jim Harbaugh be higher?
Yes. Very good. I think that was a tricky one. He is fifth all-time in win percentage. 51-22-1.
How's Sirianni for this?
Yep. Sirianni 42-19. And those were the toughest two for me.
Matt LaFleur.
Yep. Right. Matt LaFleur 63-30.
What a good segment for me.
Absolutely. You don't want any credit for the interview, but you'll force it down our throats on your coach guesses. Sal Capaccio at 5, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.